Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Wake Up America Church Ministries. This is Jonathan Ritter, a humble man of God with a voice crying out into today's American churches. Turn from her lukewarmness and her indifference. The truth that we need to equip ourselves with the Word of God and prepare ourselves to endure the intensity that's coming to America. Yes, I know it's rough now. But it will get worse. But it all has to take place for Jesus to come back. So within this intensity that we will see in America, for standing on the truth of the gospel, let's not lose hope and the joy to be part of this ministry that God has laid on each and every one of us to reach those around us with the gospel. And today we'll look at Psalms 5, and we'll look at verses 1 through 12. That is Psalms 5, verses 1 through 12. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for unto thee I will I pray. For a voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and the deceitful man, but as for me, I will come into the house in the multitude of thy mercy and thy fear, while I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth, their inward parts is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out into the multitude of their transgression, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thy Lord will bless the righteousness with favor, with thy compass them as with a shield. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, if we just come today in your presence, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to go into your word, I pray that you guide and you direct this message that you laid on my heart, God. I pray the Holy Spirit just moves. I pray that the Holy Spirit just guides and directs every word that comes out of my mouth. And I pray those who are whoever is listening to this, that they just cling to the scriptures that are presented today. For I'm just a man will fail you every time. But our God, he will never fail us. And he has never. Our God is for us, those that truly have opened their hearts to him and received that gift of salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ, recognizing that gift of salvation that costs God a lot, everything, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, the blood to be spilled, God, for the sins of the world. Oh, the love that nailed him to that cross, looking down, because it had to be done because of our sins, not because of anything you have done. It's all of our faults. Let's quit pointing the fingers toward heaven and pointing fingers to us. We are at fault. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we come to you and we can be redeemed, and we can know where our hope lies one day when this world is over, where our last steps on this earth is over. If we truly are your children, we have a beautiful inheritance waiting for us. And those who are not, Lord, we pray for their souls. For we know what damnation waits them. Even those within the church are professing something, they are faking it. It blows my mind. You know each and every one's, their hearts. You know the deceitful of their nature, Lord. And we pray that they stop faking it and truly accept you into their lives. That gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you for the opportunity to preach and teach your word. Thank you for the opportunity and all the trials and temptations that comes our way. We know through that we grow. It's through those trials that we grow. Lord, discipleship is missing within our churches. Truly training our churches to be disciples has been lacking for many years. We need to train those to go out there and to give a reason for their salvation. To those in a loss that have questions, we should be equipped to answer every question that comes out of their mouths by the studying of your word, by seeking your face daily. Oh God, we're missing that in our churches. I pray for a renewal in our churches of the training and the teaching of the word of God. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Here is David. And here is one of his psalms. What is so amazing about these psalms is how God is using David to write them and to reflect the passion, the desires of David's heart. David, his heart toward God. Oh, should we pray for a heart like David? Of course, we know David was not perfect. Who really is? But God knew that. But David understood, as we should understand, that we serve a God that is perfect. We serve a God who his will is powerful and his presence is almighty. David knew what it means to be out of God's will, and he knew what it means to be in God's will. David had faults, as we all do. But David's intentions throughout his ministry was to walk in God's will. As we all should seek to walk in God's will daily. Not our will to be done, but his right to be done. There's this guy, you may not know him, as an old Plymouth brethren name. And his writings go back to the 1800s. Pre him. He was part of the Plymouth Brothers. I encourage you to look at some of these writings. And the Plymouth Brothers is really, they had a lot of, and in his summary of this Psalm 5, he says this, is a prayer of faith. Winner from a heart in which the discretion of God as the shield and reward of them that seek him is found in union with a deep sense of the prevailing evil and ungodliness which daily present themselves to the contemplation of the faithful. vexing of soul because the abundance of iniquity is thus leading feature in its general experience. And he continues that hence patience is wroth in tribulations. Joy abides in the sure hope of a deliverance, which is deferred only by the counsel of unerring love. This psalm is a prayer of faith. I know when we look all around us and we see everything falling apart, from our perspective, right? But we gotta realize from God's perspective, everything is falling into place. I want whoever is listening to this to get this in your mind. If you attain anything from this message today, when the world is looking like it's falling apart, where our nation looks like it's falling apart, from our perspective, everything is falling into place from God's perspective. And I know we want to know all the ins and outs of why and this, and in some questions we will not be able to answer because they are not meant for us to understand. We must step in faith and walk in the direction that God has for each and every one of our lives. We each have a ministry in our life. It doesn't matter how big or small. In God's eyes, there is no such thing as a small ministry. It's about walking in the ministry that He has for you. And of course, in these truly end times, these last days we are living in. When we look at this psalm, Psalm 5, you will see the title here. It says, to the chief physician upon Neloth, a psalm of David. You know, when we look at this, the title chief, some have designated this title to be the Lord God Himself. Others designate this to be a leader of a choir. The choirs are musicians in David's time. And when we look at this word, Neloth, most believe, and I believe, this psalm was written to be played with flutes. It was to be accompanied with flutes, music. And it's no secret, David was a passionate worshiper of God. Music was just one way David expressed his worship and his praise to a holy and righteous God. Music is a powerful way. It's powerful. I am one of those individuals that starts my praise and worship out with music every day. But this is just one way to express our worship and praise to Jesus. But I found out during my prayer time when I listen to worship music, I pour my heart out to God every day. My heart is positioned, set right for that day. Doesn't mean I'm not going to sin because I'm human. It doesn't mean I'm not going to make mistakes. It means I know when I do, I come to Jesus in humble obedience. In repentance in my heart, asking forgiveness of my sin or sins, and I keep pressing on. When we look at verses 1 through 3, let's read these again. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O God, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. David's coming to God with a right heart. He's humbling himself to a holy and righteous God. Who am I? Here I am again. Who am I, God? Here I am laying it all down. And verse 2 says, hearken to the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for unto thee will I pray. All the tears that David cried. Do you cry out to the Lord? Do you cry out to the Lord daily? When you look at this world, when you look at our nation, when you look at the American church and her lukewarmness and indifference, oh, my heart breaks. I cry daily. And I pray others out there travail with me on their knees for our nation, for our churches to turn back from her wicked ways and to the truth of the gospel, that the pulpits are lit with the holiness and the righteousness of God, speaking truths against abortion and homosexuality. Oh, the pulpits are missing that fire and that desire to reach, to tell people truth. Oh, why are we so scared of how the congregation is going to receive us? No, we should have more fear of God than fear of people, Lord. I pray that hearts become aflame with righteousness and holiness within the pulpits. And I'll look at a lot of Christian research articles, and when you look at that, you see that our nation has been declined for a while, as the Word of God has been the final authority in everything we do. When prayer among pastors in America is an average of 7 minutes, there's a lot of men in the pulpits who are faking it, and this is dangerous. And I want any preacher out there that's behind the pulpit, you're faking it. You need to recognize that God will hold you double accountable. You see that all in scriptures. Luke 12:47-48 is just one example. So if you're in the pulpit and your heart is not right, leave it until your heart is back and truly on fire and flame for God. It's really that simple. But most will not. And let's keep them guys in prayers, because it's not going to be a good day for them when they're staring at God. And I'll just love these verses, you know. Verse 1, 2, and 3 say, give ear to my words. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. God is listening, right? Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King, my God. Oh, He is amazing. For unto thee will I pray. I will pray. I will pour my heart out to you. Oh, my voice I hear in the morning. Oh, Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. I will look up. That third verse, my voice shall thou hear in the morning. Oh, Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. I will look up. This is a early morning prayer of David. And I know some of us may work an evening shift, a night shift. I work night shifts for many years, and to a night shift person, that is their morning time. And I know that sounds weird, but it makes sense to our night shift people out there. But what morning may look for you when you first get up, it's important to sit that time aside, that quiet time for you and Jesus, right? What I found is it's not always been the case for me. But when I've started really pressing in last my 4 years, probably, I don't know, I lose track of time, but my mind, when I do this, I make God priority in the morning. My mind is set right in the right position that I need for that day. Just think of this. What is the first thing do you do when you get up in the morning? For me, I try to get that first cup of coffee. I usually feed the dogs. And then after that, I get to my prayer room. I put on some Christian music for a little bit and praise and worship God early in that morning. And I want to encourage you, if you guys are not doing, it will come with challenges. Because I am a type A personality. And if you know, type A personality is a person who just jumps out of bed and all the activities and everything I need to do for that comes to mind. They start rushing. And I'm ready to take them all on, regardless of the challenge I will face that day. I got this. I'm going to do it. So to pull back from that and take time to worship and praise God early in the morning through music, it's a way. I don't know if you guys heard this term before, is to hallow his name. You can see that in Matthew 6:19-13. Most people call this the Lord's Prayer. I prefer calling it more of a disciple's prayer, or because disciples are a disciple, which is probably the other disciples around. they seen Jesus praying and they seen the power of his prayer. In verse 9 it says, Matthew 6 says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You see, when we focus our mornings with prayer, and I'm not talking about a 5-minute prayer, I'm talking about, I know this is extreme, hours. You may say, "I don't have time." And I'll tell you, you need to examine your heart, because there's something not right there. Of course, that's between you and God. But I guarantee you, God demands more than 5 minutes of prayer a day. And for pastors, he demands way more than 7 minutes. There's a lot of deception out there. Some of these guys probably can win Oscars for the best acting. The thing is, God sees their hearts, and they're not hiding from them. You see, when we hallow his name, which leads us to, leads us in that direction that Holy Spirit wants us to approach that day, which accomplishes through prayer. Of course, this position, our heart position, starting that day out right, we want to cling through that all through the day. We want to have that praise and that worship and that on our hearts and that prayer constantly praying without ceasing, right? Because we will face challenges throughout the day. I face them. You will face them. We are not immune from all the temptations and the trials that we face in this life. But we need to keep in mind, we do not have to do this life alone. John 16:33 says this there, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Our God has overcome the world. As children of God, we have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, living in us that will give us strength to step into that day with the strength and the faith, wherever the path may be for that day. And we still, if we still have a breath in our body, God is not done with us. We all have a ministry, and each ministry is important regardless how small or big we think it is. In God's eyes, the path, the ministry of our life, it does not have a size. If we're walking in God's will, we are doing what he needs us, regardless of speaking to 5 people or 10,000 people. What he has placed on our heart, we are supposed to step into it in his will. As this prayer of faith continues with worship and praise that radiates from David, look at verse 5 through 4 through 5, it said, "For thou art not a God that have pleasure in the wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." Our nation, majority of our churches, lost this mindset. Our God is holy. He is a righteous God. Oh, hallowed be his name, because he's holy. One Bible commentary says this, "As David draw closer to God, he became more aware of God's holiness and man's sinfulness." This is a good way to measure how well we are praying. Whether as we're praying, you are drawing closer to God. Are you merely mouthing words? If you are truly drawing close to God, you become increasingly sensitive to sin, which is inevitable since the God you are approaching is a holy God. And this is seen throughout scriptures. Isaiah 6:5 says this. Isaiah 6 verse 5. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." Luke 5 verse 8 said, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O God." And of course, David, came to the end of himself. Sin should break our hearts. But the sad truth today, I don't see many with broken hearts for their sins. What we're seeing is a progressive Christianity, a moralistic, therapeutic deism. And I encourage you guys to look up those terms. And I preached about a month on progressive Christianity. I encourage you guys to listen to those sermons. Because the progressive Christianity, man, it's no joke. And moralistic, therapeutic deism. When moralistic is we're all good people at the heart. No, God tells us none of us are good. And therapeutic, tell me something I want to hear that makes me feel good. Deism. God could care less. He wants everybody to go to heaven. When we look at their thoughts, there's a lot of things going on. But they basically tell you, keep on sinning. You don't have to live a life that is sanctification. You don't have to live a life of discipleship. You can still be saved in your sin. You can keep doing what you're doing. You can keep living that old life and still go to heaven. This is a lie that sells. And those who hear the truth and do not accept the truth, when we say this is a lie, you will go to hell. You can disagree with me as much as you want, but this does not change the scriptures. The scriptures are clear on what sin is. And I'll list a few here. Galatians 5:19 through 21 says this: Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Oh, Halloween's coming around. See how many people are glorifying Halloween, but it still profess Christianity. Hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not go to heaven. Revelation 21:8 said the fearful, oh, how fear is rampant in our nation. Unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerer, the idolatry, all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I didn't write the scriptures. I'm just a messenger. And if you don't think your sins or sins were listed, you can always go to James 4:17. If you have the Holy Spirit, He corrects you, right? Therefore, to him that knows to do good and do it not, to him is a sin. It is a sin. If we keep sinning, there is no heartbrokenness. You're not a child of God. You're a child of Satan. And I know this will not make me popular. I won't be as like Joe Osteen, Steve Furtick, all and many others that tell you, you do not have to repent. Oh, you don't have to worry about hell. Oh, you do not have to ask for forgiveness. Oh, your life does not have to change. I'm here to tell you the Word of God says differently. Colossians 3:1-10 says this. Let me flip to that. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your afflictions on things above, not on things on the earth. Focus our attention on the things that are above, not on this world. Oh, there goes the prosperity gospel down the drain. For ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, ordinance, affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walk sometime when you live in them. But now you also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth, you realize we are not supposed to be having filthy communication. If you're dealing with conversation with somebody's cussing and doing this, oh, you're compromising who you are. You excuse yourself from that conversation. You let them know about the truth of the gospel if you felt led, but you don't sit there and you keep participating in that. Oh, your heart is torn from God. Lay not one to another, seeing what you have to put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How do we get this, guys? We are supposed to be created new in Christ. John 3:1-8 tells us it's about being born again. We are no longer the same. The problem is we're not seeing that. We're seeing people that are coming, saying they're coming to Christ, but there is no change in them. There is no renewal in them. Their old life is still primarily their focus. We are supposed to not have our old lives and seeking a new. God puts supposed to put a new heart in us, a new direction in our life. Oh, are we seeing that? Oh, is our preachers in the pulpit speaking that? Us out in the world to those, are we correcting those that are supposed to be our brothers and sisters? Are we so fearful to say anything? We need a boldness. We need a boldness. You see, when you have the Holy Spirit inside you, He will correct you. Hebrews 12:6-11. For whom the Lord love, He chastens, and scourge every son, that can be daughter too, whom He receive. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, and course daughters too. For what is son or daughter is he whom the father chastens not? Chastisement is part of a Christian walk. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, we all will feel the chastisement of the Holy Spirit. But if we are not, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh who correct us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they vary for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure, but He, for our profit, that we may be partakers, here's this word, partakers of His holiness. This is scripture, guys. Now no chasten for the present seem to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, after it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness unto which them which are exercised thereby. When we sin, we should not be okay with that. Because we're new in Christ. He puts a new heart in us. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And when we have the Holy Spirit in our life, He will, not according to Jonathan Ritter, according to scriptures, He will correct us. That is chasten. And scourging. And so you look up the word scourging. That is brutal. When you think of scourging, think of the cross. If you can't picture that, Google it. Put a The Passion of Christ, a Mel Gibson film. Of course, it's not all accurate. But watch that part when they tie him to that beam. And they're taking that whoop and they're scourging him. When you're getting scourged, just imagine getting ripped apart. Don't think that's not going to draw you to repentance. You're not feeling that? There's problems. The Holy Spirit is not in your life, period. Once again, this is what Scripture tells us. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but sorrow of the world works death. For behold, this self same thing that ye sorrow after a godly sort, we are supposed to sorrow what is carefully is wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourself, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vermin. Desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, and all things you prove yourself to be clear in this matter. Oh, our sin should leave us to godly sorrow, to repentance, and asking for forgiveness, not accepting that sin and saying, oh, I'm okay, God understands. No, He doesn't understand. You're not His with that attitude. And I say all this to say this, when we start the day out with prayer, and we should seek our day with prayer. We start our day out right. We start our day drawing close to Jesus, to God. To realize when we do that, we become more sensitive to our sins throughout our day. And when we sin, we are broken. Because we sin against God. And that drives us to repentance. Turning away from it. Not enjoying it. It should break our heart and leave us asking forgiveness of our sin and praying for that, and then getting up and saying, here I go again. Give me strength to walk in the way you need me to walk. Oh, that's what's missing. Today, people want to live in their sins. They want to talk wherever they want. They want to be involved in all conversations they want. They want to focus on the material things of this life. Oh, what I can gain from this world. Oh, let's give it all to God and be done with it. Without Jesus in our life, we are nothing. Oh, when the mark of the beast hits us, you can neither buy or sell. And of course, if you guys follow my ministry, I'm not pre-trib. I'm post-trib. And that's a whole different conversation there. But I find out most pre-trib people that I've encountered, they live for themselves. Most of them live for themselves. They're self-centered. The ones I have encountered. They could care less about dying to self. Picking up their cross daily. They could care less about discipleship and standing firm on the Word of God wherever they're at. Now I'm saying wherever you're at, from the workplace to school, wherever you're at. They tend to love their sin way more than they love God. This is a sign they do not have the Holy Spirit inside them. They have not truly committed their life to Jesus. And the sad truth in those times when the Antichrist, the eschatology in Christ, Antichrist, comes to reign, they were never in it from the get-go. They have truly not counted the cost. So we can use that term, they'll walk away, but they were never there in the first place. Those that endure to the end will be save. It's endurance. You know, most of the pulpits today, they're not just not being real with their congregation. These are the fundamental truths. To count the cost. To deny yourself daily. To seek God before anything else. to seek His will more than anything we can gain in this world material-wise. The prosperity gospel is the popular gospel. Oh, we can have all these things in this world and still do whatever we want. There is no hell. You don't have to worry about being a disciple. Oh, that's too painful. But if pulpits would stop worrying about what their congregation will do, yes, they kick you out, whatever. If they listen and they truly accept that into their heart, oh, how the gospel of your church will spread. Do not be deceived. Those who claim a life that you can keep sinning and do not believe in repentance or asking forgiveness, they are part of the Satan's gospel lies. They are wicked, and I'm telling you, they outnumber us true Bible preaching preachers, Bible Christian disciples. And what you will hear this name, I've mentioned it several times, the progressive Christianity and moralistic therapeutic deism. I encourage you guys to look those terms up. And I preached probably 4 or 5 sermons on progressive Christianity, and you can actually find them on the website. I encourage you to listen to them. I personally believe, even though they may change these terms, progressive Christianity or moralistic therapeutic deism, and they may change the name of it, this will be a foundation of the one world religion, the Antichrist. One part of that teaching is that there is multiple ways. Multiple ways to heaven. Multiple ways to God. For we know that went through the scripture, Jesus tells us He is the way, truth, and the life. And no one comes to Jesus except through the Father, that is God. Meaning there is no other way. But they will teach that there is multiple ways. And that specific scripture is misunderstood. No, it's not misunderstood. They want you to make you feel that way. Last days will get wicked. They will mirror the days of Noah and Lot, and some will say that we are there, and some will say we're getting close. And honestly, I believe we're close. Once again, we should not lose hope, because our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the one true name, Jesus Christ. We should pray and we should focus our eyes on Jesus more than anything else. Than all the craziness going around us right now. Our eyes need to be firmly focused on the Word of God. On Jesus Christ. As we look at verse 8 through 11. Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make Thy way straight for my faith, for there is no faithfulness in Thy mouth. All their inward parts is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongues and destroy them, O Lord God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them into the multitude of Thy transgressions, for they have rebelled against Thee. Destroy all though them, O God. Let them fall on their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgression, for they have rebelled against Thee. Intense, right? But one important concept here that we can take from this passage is this. There were wicked people in David's time. And there are wicked people in our time. And there were people that hated God in David's time. And there are people that hate God today. And it's easy to focus our anger on these persons, right? These individuals who are doing evil. But we got to keep in mind, Ephesians 6:12 tells us, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a spiritual war on humanity, which began at the very beginning of Adam and Eve. Those were the first two individuals created. Don't let nobody tell you there was another race before Adam and Eve. That is a lie. There is light and darkness. There is good and evil. There is angels and there is demons. There is a kingdom of God and there is a kingdom of Satan. One of the great deception that our enemy Satan and his demons have done to the church is not to teach on spiritual warfare. And of course, I'll do another sermon teaching on or preaching on spiritual warfare. I try to do one every year. Plus, I post spiritual warfare Bible studies on this website. And I was able to put last month's on there because of internet problems. I'm going to try to post one today or next day. It's a Bible studies, and I got probably almost a year on there. It gives you a layout of spiritual warfare. We have to realize that we are in a spiritual war. And when we pray, we prepare ourselves for battle every day. When we walk out those doors, it may be at work. Do not be deceived. Most American businesses are anti-God. If you don't believe me, when you're having a business meeting, ask if you could pray over the business meeting. Most are so scared they won't even dare to ask because of fear of what will happen to me if I ask to pray. Most of us are full of the spirit of fear, even to mention God's name in our workplace. Just having that fear should let you know that you're in a spiritual war that is composed of battles every day that we'll have to face. And time will get worse. It will intensify. So what do? We do not have to scratch our heads. We don't have to figure it out. We got the Bible. And God gives us the position that we need to hold. And He knows if you're all in and you're all out. He sees your heart, right? I can't see your heart. God can see your heart. Of course, the Bible, Scripture tells us by their fruits you will know them. So we can observe one's fruits. But are you hiding from God? He sees your heart, but we don't have to scratch our head. We come to God in prayer, right? We pray for that strength to endure that day. We pray for the God's strength to strengthen our armor, to our loins girded with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. So when the fiery darts are coming, these flaming arrows come our way through the strength of our God, the Holy Spirit, we quench those arrows and we put them out. We take the helmet of salvation and we put it on to protect our mind. We take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Amen. When we pray, we realize there's a spiritual war, then the spiritual battles that we will face every day until the coming of our Lord, from our nation to our schools to our family or our children. We armor up, amen. We need men and women that truly have a heart for God. A prayer of life that shakes the gates of hell, that rattles Satan and his demons. Oh, I pray a life that saturates our life. More we pray, more we are prepared, more we seek God more than ourselves, less of ourselves and more of you. Oh, we surrender ourselves to God. We count the cost. We deny ourselves. We want to do His will instead of our will. We want to go out there and do the ministry that He has placed on our hearts. It could be our workplace. It could be at our church. It could be our family. It could be our school. Oh, our nation, oh, has turned to turn from her wicked ways to a holy and righteous God. That is the answer, right? That is truly the answer. When we look at verse 11 through 12. But let all things that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let every shout for joy because thy to finish thee, thou let them also love thy name, be joyful in thee, for thou, O Lord, will bless be the righteous with favor with those compass him as with a shield. Simply putting here, the only answer that will solve the world's problems, our nation problems, our business problems, our family problems, is the name of Jesus. As we always should enter in our prayer with praise and worship, and this should continue throughout our day. It's just the morning as a starting point. But I want to be honest with you, I have days. I want to throw my hands up and say, I'm done. Those who are truly walking in the light and trying to reach others with the gospel, you know what I'm talking about. It feels like you're banging your head on a brick wall. You can feel that you're not making any difference. But when you feel that way, I want to tell you, that is Satan and demons working overtime to make you feel this way. There is somebody out there that needs to hear the truth. So we feel discouraged. So understand this, we must keep pressing on regardless. Regardless of how we are feeling. Feelings are deceptive. They are deceiving. We need to stand firmly on the Word of God. I know when I'm having those feelings, I know what is going on. Spiritual warfare, right? Think of the prophet Jeremiah. And I encourage you guys, if y'all have never read the prophet Jeremiah, read Jeremiah. But in chapter 20, verse 8 through 9, Jeremiah says this, "For since I spoke, I cry out. I cry in violent spoil because the world... word of the Lord has made reproach of me, a derision daily. Now I say I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was the word is my heart, is a burning fire shut in my bones, and I was weary, forbearing, I could not stay." W.G. Moorhead, in his commentary on Jeremiah and chapter 20, he says this, "It was Jeremiah's lot to prophesy at a time when all things in Judah were rushing down to the final and more mournful catastrophe, when the worst passions sway the various parties and the most fatal counsels prevail. It was his to stand in the way over which nation was rushing headlong to destruction, to make a heroic effort to arrest it and to turn it back, and to fail and to compel to step one side and see his own people whom he loved with tenderness of a woman purged plunge over precipice into the wild watering runs." That is crazy, right, guys? That is crazy. And my dog, she can hear her barking over there. Does it sound familiar? America. Oh, how we have turned our back on God. Oh, the churches in America. Oh, how we have truly turned our back on the truth of the gospel. I want to encourage you, how many sermons have you heard on abortion and homosexuality, sexual immorality, about lies, even white lies, telling your kids about Santa Claus, that is a white lie, but oh, how we justify it, but then we look at our America and we scratch our head, what's going on? I want to tell you. What's going on is we have turned away from the truth of the gospel. And we rationalize and we try to... I know this ain't popular, I get it. God hasn't called me to be popular, he's called me to preach straight from the Word of God. And if it's just one to two people listening, well, that's what His will is. So I will keep preaching regardless who will listen. But you see Jeremiah, he was living in the time like we're living in, and he was beside himself. But because He had that, the word of God burning in his bones. He could not be quiet. And that's how we are supposed to be. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. So we should be more equipped than Jeremiah. And we should be more equipped than David, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, abiding inside of us. We should be on more fire, and that's the problem. Where is the fire of the pulpits today? Compromise. They don't want to center their life on prayer. I want to tell you guys, we have to center our life on prayer. Prayer has to be the central point of our life. That's direct communication with God, right? We should seek His that communication daily. It should be burning in our souls daily. Not, oh, I gotta pray. Oh, I don't feel like doing that. I know we can get that way, but we got to press through that. We gotta keep pressing on. Oh, I wanna get up early and pray and seek God's face daily. Pressing on. In closing, Psalms 5, 1 through 12. Let's read those verses again. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, O King, my God, for thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee, and will look up, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and defeatful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy and thy fear, while I worship through the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in thy mouth. Their inward parts is very wicked. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongues. Glory all thy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out into the multitude of thy transgression, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. With thy compassion, compass them as with a shield. David understood the importance of prayer in his life. He understood the importance of prayer to be the centerpiece of his life. When we pray, we give God priority over our lives. But when we do not give God priority over our lives. It's really that simple. You know, that article, you know, I was talking about a pastor in America prays 7 minutes a day. And, you know, that just blows my mind. And of course, you know, the studies are limited. It don't include everybody. And, you know, that's just a kind of a sense of how our nation and how the church views prayer. And I will tell you, there's a massive deception in the pulpits of America. The sad truth is, this will continue until Jesus comes back. But we can recognize it. And we can say, hey, I am going to make my life about prayer. And I will pray that God will open my eyes to wherever church I'm at right now. And everything that man says in that pulpit, I am going to look at the Word of God, and we are supposed to do that. I encourage, when I'm speaking or even on through this podcast, every word that comes out of my mouth, you check it with the Word of God. And when I'm in person preaching at a church, I encourage the same thing. If I say something that is not lining up with the Word of God, the thing is, you won't hear many preachers today that will say that, because they are not lining up with the Word of God. Their life are prayerless. Their churches are prayerless. They let the little things shut them doors. If you're out and sick, find somebody to go in your church and preach. Don't shut your doors. We need churches that are centered on prayer and the studying of the Word of God. That we need people that are truly committed their lives to Christ, that center their life on prayer daily. That they can not get enough of that communication with Jesus Christ. Oh, how they want to come home and turn the TVs on. Oh, how they want to do everything to distract them from the reality of the situation, that prayer is key. Prayer is priority. It all starts with prayer in our life. We have to seek God with all of our hearts and focusing on God. And that starts early in the morning where our prayer life, right, are centering our hearts on that worship and that praise. And that can be through music and just pouring our hearts out to seek God throughout the day. Pray to draw close to God and to prepare ourselves for war, because we are in a spiritual war that's made of spiritual battles. Don't be confused. I don't care if most churches don't want to talk about spiritual warfare. It is reality. Satan has this loud deception on the church to not talk about spiritual warfare. But we are in a spiritual war, and it's made of battles. And you can go through Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and see that attack on humanity. But you see, when we start realizing that, true men and women of God, we recognize this. We recognize that truth, right? And we recognize there is a cost being a true child of God. And we recognize there is a cost to being a disciple. God has called us to be soldiers and disciples. It's clear. Jesus points out, you can't be my disciple if you don't do this. You can't be my disciple. Salvation and discipleship goes together. If you, one part of salvation which is missed is to understand, when you come to Christ and you have that option, God provides option, although He knows which choice you're going to make, which He is sovereign. And it's hard to grasp that. You know, He knows the beginning, the end, but He still provides that option for you to accept or not accept Him. But He already knows what you're going to do. But here's the thing, when you come to it, to salvation, you need to understand this discipleship. There will be a cost associated with me coming to Christ. Am I willing to pay that? Now, salvation, of course, is a free gift. Everything was done on the cross, but discipleship will cost us. And the problem in America, we're comfortable Christianity. We cling to the false Christianity that will be a mechanism, a train for the eschatology, Antichrist. And many will jump on board. Course, we know those that plead allegiance to the end of Christ of the end times will be damned. They will take the mark of the beast, and they will. And once they take the mark of the beast, they will not be able to reverse it. They will be damned for all their lives. You will spend eternity in hell. Once you get it, there's no saying, "Oh, I shouldn't have done it." No, you would clearly know. And here's the thing, when you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, you will know, and you will have that conviction, and you will have that scourging. You will not be able to take the mark of the beast. And the Holy Spirit is such a beautiful, I thank God for the Holy Spirit and the correction daily. It's one way that I know I'm a child of God is when I sin, the conviction is heavy. And it drives me to repentance. It drives me for asking forgiveness. And you can refer back to Hebrews 12, 6 through 11. And 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. That's Hebrews 12, verse 6 through 11. Let the scriptures speak for themselves. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. And of course, Colossians 3, 1 through 10. You can start at that starting point and do a Bible study. Look at the words and do a detailed Bible study. Let the scriptures speak for themselves. Don't let a man in the pulpit tell you otherwise. If they want to pull away from scripture and they don't want to center on God being the word of God being the final authority, and then you will hear them say, oh, you know, that was true then, but that's not true now. There's problems with that statement. There is. There's truths that, yes, disciples were not living in a time like we're living in, meaning they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have a TV and all that, but I'm talking about fundamental, solid, biblical truths. See, we are supposed to rub off on this world, but the sad truth, the world is rubbing off on us more than we're rubbing off on the world. This world, of course, Satan kingdom, is rubbing off on majority of American churches, period. If you not believe me, just Google or do an internet search of the most popular preachers, so-called preachers, that you will find names like Joel Osteen and Steve Furtick and John Hagee. And of course, the list goes on and on. There's three you can start with, and then you can and the sad truth, most churches want to model their churches because, you know, they're Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, John Hagee, they're mega churches. They want to model their churches after them because obviously they're doing something good. No, they're teaching false truths that this world wants to hear. They're seeking men that are telling them what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. All the way up to the end. But it's when we seek God through our prayer, through our prayer life, having an intense prayer life. I'm not talking about 5 minutes of prayer here and there and, oh, I'm good now. I'm talking about hours and hours of prayer, travail, crying with your heart, laying at the altar of God. Oh, Lord, guide my day. Oh, Lord, strengthen my armor. Oh, Lord, whatever direction that you need my life to go in, oh, I give it to you. I surrender it all to you. Oh, Lord, I want your way and not mine. Oh, are we seeking God truly? Oh, Lord, whatever it may be, give me another person to tell about the gospel. I don't care what it costs me. Oh, I'm gonna give me whatever ministry you need me to give out that day to whoever needs to hear the gospel. Oh, I don't care who I offend. Oh, I want to be that. I want to walk in your will. I want to draw closer to you. Oh, more of you, God, and less of me. Oh, we cry at the altar. We seek his face daily. Oh, I don't want to blend into this world. Oh, I don't want nothing to do with this world except that God pulls through me through the Holy Spirit to reach those out there. When I look at the professing Christianity, the professing Christianity church, oh, I do not see that passion to seek God. Oh, I don't see their heart broken for their sin. Oh, when I look at this world, when I look at America and our churches, the vast majority have lost her passion and desire to seek God's direction through prayer. Oh, I pray this message opens your eyes today. You may say this guy, man, he's too extreme. But I want to tell you, another man that was extreme, Jesus. We should have heart and fire burning in our hearts every morning to make Jesus the priority of our lives and keep that focus throughout the whole day with constant prayer and worshiping of the holy and righteous God. As you guys pray, as we bow, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just end this message today, I pray that it reaches whoever it may need to reach. I don't know who it will reach. I don't know who will listen to this. I don't know who will listen to it later on. All I know is your word will not go void. It will reach whoever it needs to reach. Lord, I pray that our hearts are centered more on you. That we seek churches that have truly a desire for prayer and the heartbeat of the gospel. I pray that our churches and the people in them will seek your will through the word of God. That they will weigh everything that man says in the pulpit, be a person or Facebook or whatever platform, to the highest standard that is the word of God. Does that match up with what scripture says? And to pray for the eyes and discernment to see those in our pulpits that are faking it. And I pray those that are in the pulpits, Lord, that their eyes are open to the truth. And they repent of their wickedness. And they turn back to the true gospel. And if they can't get their hearts right, Lord, we pray that they step down from the pulpit. Because their damnation is waiting for them. Accountability. All to preach the word of God and to teach the word of God is a heavy burden. Because everything that comes out of our mouths, we are held double accountable to it. The way we portray you in our lives, especially as men of God, we are held double accountable. If we don't want to step into that ministry, you don't need us. We need you. God, we pray over these preachers that are popular, like Joel Osteen and Steve Furtick and John Hagee and many others, Lord, that they turn away from their wicked ways, their false doctrine, and they turn to a living and true and holy righteousness that centers on scripture, that centers on the word of God. You see, many of these guys, they just only use scripture as a bypass, as a secondary. Our pulpits should be saturated with the word of God. Our pulpits should be saturated with men who pray long periods of time seeking your face before we even step in that pulpit. We are supposed to be modeling prayer. In our congregation, we should be training our congregation in how to be disciples and soldiers for you, God. Lord, I pray today this message just reaches whoever. It touches whoever that will hear it, maybe open their eyes, and that they seek the direction of their life and their ministry for you. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, if y'all have any questions, y'all can get a hold of me. through this website. Facebook for now. Of course, Instagram and Twitter. MeWe. And I'm checking a few other platforms out. But I encourage you guys to reach out to me if you have any questions. I hope you guys are having a good day today, and that you just keep on pressing in, persevering to the end. Love you guys. Y'all have a good day.